Now that's almost it for this Naked Scientist special from the Tour de France. But we can't go without meeting the person that has to combine all this technology, nutrition and fitness together to try and win stages and jerseys. That's the cyclists themselves. I spoke to world-class sprinter Tyler Farah at the start of stage 10 to find out how he prepares.
You know, for me, there's a lot of focus on real maximum power training and high-speed work. So we do a lot of sprint training, a lot of riding behind a scooter or a journey, kind of motor pacing to simulate racing in the final sprints. And then we're doing a lot of work with the power meters to kind of register what kind of values I'm putting out, how that relates to where I was at in my preparation before previous Tour de France's or Giro d'Italia's, things like that.
What's your kind of goal then when you're looking at all of this in the training sessions, and how much impact does it actually have when you're out riding?
I mean, at the end of the day in racing, it's the results that count, not the numbers, but you can at least have a sense of where you're at in your training. You know, I know, for example, that if I'm doing a certain X number of watts in a sprint, that means I'll be in about the same shape I was in, you know, when I was doing that right before another race that I won. So this is kind of a nice, like, gauge.
So would you say then that think power is more important to you, perhaps, say, than monitoring things like heart rate or breathing?
It depends on who you are. As a sprinter, yeah, you know, sprints are so short, your heart can't catch up to the workload. So it's power that really measures what you're actually doing.
And how do you handle things like climbs then? So yesterday was a mammoth climb. So how do you handle things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I have to train for that just to get through the stages. You know, that's the biggest thing is make it inside time cut. Try not to kill yourself too much. So, I mean, I actually spent a lot of time training in the hills too, just to kind of build the general condition a lot.
And I guess when it comes to cycling, it's more than just you as the person. It's your gear, it's your diet. So how much does that all play a role?
I mean, it's all a factor, you know. Bike races are won by really small margins, so it's all the little things you can change and tweak that make the difference. It's how you're eating, how you're sleeping, how you're training, and if you can do little tweaks that change 1%, that can be the difference between first and fifth place or something like that.
Well, there's a lot of developments when it comes to, say, bike equipment. So is there, say, a particular technological advance that you would say has really helped you?
Wheel technology has been incredible. You know, they've really changed the wheels we're racing on in the last 10 years. So, you know, bikes don't look the same as they did a decade ago. And, you know, there's a lot of limits on what a bike frame can be, how it's shaped. But, you know, the building faster and lighter and stiffer wheels is what's really made a difference, I think.
What about what you put inside you? So your diet, is there like a key thing that you rely on, perhaps, either before a ride or during, that really helps?
As a team, we do an anti-inflammatory diet that is pretty thorough. And then during the race, it's just a matter of staying hydrated, keeping the food in you. And, you know, when it's as hot as it's been in this tour, you know, staying on top of the hydration is life or death, really. I mean, if you don't stay on top of it one day, your tour could be over.
Well, this tour has been particularly hot on certain days, especially. I think Saturday, I heard even roads were melting.
Yeah, it's been really warm. So, I mean, it's been a pretty cool year up to this date, so not a lot of guys are used to it. We haven't raced in the heat a lot. Yeah, it's been a bit of a shock to the system, but you expect that in the Tour.
I'm amazed when I hear about someone breaking their arm or, like, breaking a rib and continuing to cycle, like, 200 kilometres. So what's your worst, perhaps, injury been and that you've actually then pursued and finished a race with? Haven't you got a broken elbow now?
I have a broken wrist right now. This is certainly the, you know, I mean, I've had worse broken bones, but I haven't continued on with them. I've broken my clavicle a few times, and I've broken my wrist before when I haven't been able to race on it. This time it's a really small fracture, and I can, you know, kind of just grit my teeth and bear it. But yeah, I've been racing since stage 2 now with a broken wrist.
So what's your worst injury ever been, perhaps?
Well, I've broken 5 collarbones, 3 wrists, and a rib.
And you're still cycling.
Throughout my career, not all at once, but, you know.
Well, that would have been awful.
You add it all up, yeah.
I guess, actually, a key thing is being part of a team. So how much do you rely on your team to really kind of protect you and keep you going to help you do your final sprint?
Oh, it's huge. You know, there's a lot of fighting for position that goes on before the final sprint itself, and that's where the team comes in to lead the sprint out and, you know, let me sit back in the draft and let them put me where I need to be. You know, it's a little harder to put it into practice because there's 20 other teams trying to do the same thing. But, you know, we do the best we can.
So what are your aims for this particular tour?
You know, the hope coming here was to win a stage. I've been second on one stage. Breaking my wrist derailed that a little bit because, for me personally, the most opportunities were in the first week. And when I broke my wrist, I missed almost all the sprints because for the first 3 days I couldn't really sprint after.
How did you break your wrist?
There's just a lot of crashes on stage two, and I was in one of them and just hit the ground wrong.
This year, has there been anything this year that's new that's kind of revolutionized perhaps the tour or cycling or the route?
I think the way the teams have progressed in the last few years has really changed cycling a lot. Teams function as a unit a lot more than they used to. Races used to be a lot won by individuals a lot more, and now it's truly team efforts to win races almost always. Because the teams are functioning as a unit, the technology is becoming way more dispersed within the peloton, because before, the top rider might have the best stuff, and then the teammates would just have the leftovers.
The second good.
Yeah, and now it's kind of, you know, everyone's riding on the same stuff. Everyone is really the top equipment, raising the general level of the technology of the sport.
And your thoughts for today?
It's going to be a hot one. And it's Bastille Day, so I think the French riders are going to be quite motivated today.
In fact, Portuguese cyclist Sergio Paulinho went on to win Stage 10 that day. That was sprint cyclist Tyler Farah from Team Garmin Transitions. Well, that's it for this Tour de France special edition of The Naked Scientists. Next week, Ben Bousler and Diana O'Carroll will be digging down and reaching to the stars as we find out what's been going on in the worlds of archaeology and astronomy. The Naked Scientists was produced by Chris Smith and me, Meera Senthilingam. It was produced in association with the Open University. To discover a whole range of science content, including lots of interactive features, log on to thenakedscientists.com and follow the links to the Open University.
The Naked Scientists comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientists.com.